Little Ones, the Sleep Manual podcast. Welcome back to our podcast, The Sleep Manual. I'm Nikki and this is Amanda.
Hi.
And we are pediatric sleep consultants and the founders of Little Ones. We have been privileged to help families all around the world with their baby and toddler sleep over the last 7 years. And we're here if you need a hand too. So visit us at littleones.co and we can get started on solving your current sleep challenges. Today, on our podcast, we are looking at a huge and often controversial topic, sleep training. But not just sleep training. We're looking specifically at how you can train, how you can sleep train your little one with no crying.
Yes, this is something we get asked about all the time. How can you sleep train without tears? Now, in this episode, we'll explore gentle sleep training methods that minimize or eliminate crying while fostering good sleep habits in babies and toddlers. Mm-hmm. So we'll discuss understanding the sleep needs and development, setting up for sleep training success, which is a big one and what we really love to focus on, gentle sleep training methods, what to do if there is crying, and then we'll round everything up and go over our key points at the end. All right, Nikki, cool. So do you want to discuss the understanding of the sleep needs and development?
Yeah, so if you're thinking about or talking about wanting to sleep train your little one, let's just first clarify what you mean by that and what we mean and what we're going to talk about. So people generally talk about sleep training in the context of needing to actively teach their children, their babies, sometimes their babies to sleep better, generally to sleep through the night. And that's usually achieved by teaching them how to fall asleep unassisted. So without you needing to do something to put them to sleep. And so there are a massive array of methods out there. There's some of the more famous ones you probably would have heard of, the Ferber method, the cry it out method, extinction sleep training. All of these sort of almost prehistoric sleep training methods that sort of paved the way for a lot of the sleep stuff that we and other people do these days. But
I guess at the end of the day, they did work.
Yeah, eventually. They did work. Yeah.
But we understand a lot more now about the science behind sleep and not necessarily needing to go that far.
So. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the more we know and the more, you know, there is so much emerging research into sleep more recently, which is super fascinating. And the more we know about it, then the more that obviously we're able to tweak those methods. So if we're talking about your child's sleep needs, I suppose we're talking about when this starts to become a bit of an issue for your little one. So when you're around the age, you're probably starting to think about some sleep training is certainly from 4 months onwards. And that's where there's a huge change in your little one's sleep. And we do have an entire separate podcast about the 4 month sleep regression, which is what it's called, and why self-settling becomes really important at that point. So at that age, your little one is capable of and really needs to start learning the skill of falling asleep without you doing something to actively settle them to sleep. And then that's definitely going to see better naps, longer naps, and more consolidated nighttime sleep. So if your little one is...
First of all, just quickly, very quickly, explain the difference between sleep training and following a routine or program.
Yeah,
we're
sure.
We're not talking about just following actively knowing what our baby's nap lengths are and what times they're going to sleep. This is not sleep training. Having the perfect sleep environment, that's not sleep training. Sleep training is getting your baby or toddler to fall asleep independently when they previously hadn't. Mm-hmm. So when they previously are being rocked to sleep or fed to sleep or co-sleeping. So this is where sleep training becomes important to be able to get your child to sleep independently. So lots of people, most people think if they don't know about your child's sleep or anything to do with baby or toddler sleep, will think that sleep training is actually following a routine or program. Now, that is not the case. And a lot of people will actually find that even just following these quick and simple tips will mean that you don't have to sleep train anyway. But we'll get on to that later on anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry. So if we then just take a quick another diversion and have a quick look at the difference between newborn sleep patterns and then the sleep patterns of an older baby, this is where we actually get asked, should I sleep train my newborn? What age can I start sleep training my baby? And the thing is, if your baby is at an age where they're genuinely needing to be sleep trained, so they need to now learn to go to sleep without your input, that is around the 4 month mark and over. It is not in a 2, 3, 5, 6 week old baby.
No way.
In a newborn baby, their sleep is quite different. It's a lot more disorganized. Their circadian rhythm is very immature, but they are able generally to drift between their sleep cycles and stay asleep easier than an older baby is. So once your baby is no longer a newborn, their sleep is maturing and they go through a stage where they're starting to completely wake between these sleep cycles. That is what's commonly known as the 4 month sleep regression. And so that's the point where you now need to go, okay, hang on a minute. My baby is needing to now learn how to go to sleep so that they can go back to sleep between these sleep cycles, so that it means I don't have to get up 50,000 times a night just to put their pacifier back in or pat their bum until they go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. So that's your little one's sleep development at this stage. So up until 4 months, you know, they've in theory, they could have been sleeping quite well. Your newborn might have started sleeping 4 to 6 hour stretches overnight, and then suddenly they start waking every 2 hours and they're just doing these little cat naps in the day. And if you are doing something to actively settle them to sleep, that's when sleep training is definitely going to start coming in. Amanda, what are some misconceptions that people have here about sleep in general? Not necessarily to do with sleep training, but just, you know, we hear all of these old wives' tales or helpful advice around sleep at this age, especially around that 4 month age. What do these things get passed off as?
Oh, that you know, my baby's teething. That's an massive teething one. Mm-hmm. Teething. We hear this all the time because it also happens to coincide with our babies getting ready for solids. So they may start dribbling more. They may start putting more things in their mouths. They will start chewing on things because at the end of the day, they are exploring the world and they are exploring with their hands and their mouth. Mm-hmm. Some people, I've got friends who were blaming teething at 3, 4 months old and their kid or their baby didn't even get teeth until 1. Yeah. Like, that is not teething.
Yeah.
That is something completely different. And honestly, as much as people love to say that the teeth move up and down inside their gums, they do not. No. They just come up.
There is no room for them to move anywhere else. They've got 3 sets of down. Teeth in their gums. Yeah.
They don't. No.
Another one we often hear is that, oh, it's just a stage. It'll get better. Well, this particular one where your little one needs to learn to go to sleep independently, that's not a stage. And unfortunately, it's not going to get better on its own. It will just continue like that forever and ever until the end of time.
Yeah, and for the people who it, quote unquote, gets better by itself, they've actually still done something but they just haven't sort of put it together. Like maybe they've ended up at 3 with their child co-sleeping, but then they've had another baby, and then at the end of the day they've actually needed the co-sleeping child to go into their own room or something like that. You know, there's something that is still the catalyst to actually getting them to go to sleep independently. It's just that they sort of pass it off as, oh, it eventually got better. But yeah, there's loads of misconceptions out there.
And there's misconceptions around sleep training itself as well. I mean, people think that sleep training needs to mean that you have abandoned your baby crying in a room for the entire night. And that's definitely not the case. And we in our app have a real variety of different methods for getting your little one to fall asleep independently. And some are more gentle than others, but all of them are based around working with your little one's existing sleep associations. And we'll get to that a little bit further in the episode. But in general, the misconception around sleep training is that it's cruel and it's abandonment. And
these are people who, again, just don't understand. First of all, one, what sleep training is, and two, that you may not even need to do sleep training, and three, that there are hundreds, there's multiple different methods, and there is gentle sleep training methods that you can do. So I guess, should we move on to actually setting up your little one's sleep training for success? Because first of all, as I've already briefly mentioned, we have to make sure that your little one is perfectly ready for sleep. Now, how do we do this? We need to check their awake windows. We need to look at their nap lengths. We need to look at their sleep environment. So their awake windows, are they age appropriate? Are they actually still what a newborn would be doing for like a 2 week old versus, because there's loads of advice out there for newborns that they can only stay awake for an hour. But you know what? A 6 week old, an hour, that's way too short. Even an 8 week old, you know, so those awake windows change very dramatically in those first few weeks and months. But because our newborns are so easily actively settled to sleep, if they are being actively settled, they may still go to sleep after that hour. And then all of a sudden you've got to your 3 month, 4 month old baby, and you're still trying to put them to sleep after an hour when that is just not appropriate.
And if you're trying to also sleep train them at that point, this is really important, because it's not fair on your baby that you're changing the sleep situation and they're not even ready for sleep. So they're going to fight you, and there will be tears. So if we're talking about how to teach sleep training without crying, this is where you have to start. Because if your baby isn't ready for sleep yet, if they're overtired or if they're undertired, then they are going to cry no matter what you do.
Yeah, they will. And they will cry more, and it will be heartbreaking, and it will be just awful, because at the end of the day, one, they probably just don't need to go to sleep if their awake windows are too short, or two, if their awake windows are too long, they are just so overtired.
So overtired.
That they are crying because they're overtired.
Yeah, it's all over.
So checking our awake windows, checking our nap lengths too. Mm-hmm. Now, our nap lengths over the space of 24 hours, over the space of 12 hours in our awake time or our daytime, can add up to either too much or too little sleep. So we need to look at our total day sleep. That's super important. We also need to look at our sleep environment. Is the environment conducive of sleep? Are you trying to sleep train your baby in the bright room? Are you trying to sleep train your baby with a bright musical mobile over their crib? You know, things like this. So all of those things need to be set up first, before even thinking about sleep training. And as I said, a lot of people will find that having some control over their naps, their nap lengths, their awake windows, will find that all of a sudden you don't even need to sleep train because you don't need to actively settle them, because they are ready for sleep in the first place.
So tick these boxes first, and then come back and listen to the rest of this podcast if you still need to sleep train your baby.
So another thing, I guess, is no pacifier, unfortunately, if you are sleep training. Well, you might be sleep training because you are doing 50,000 dummy runs.
Unless your little one's old enough to replace the pacifier themselves. So that's around 7 months and older. If your little one can replace it themselves or learn to replace it, a pacifier is fine to keep in their sleep environment. But if they're younger and they can't, a pacifier is going to ruin any sleep training attempts in a baby under 6-7 months old, because they physically cannot replace it themselves. So it's going to fall out when they enter deep sleep, And when they wake up again between their sleep cycle, they need it to go back to sleep. They need you to come and get it. And that is not independent sleep if you have to go and replace that pacifier.
Yeah.
So get rid of it.
Yeah. That, I guess there is a tiny weeny caveat here of if you've got your baby to independently go to sleep at the beginning of naps without the pacifier, you can use it to
resettle. That's right.
Resettle only if they're under 7 months old.
Mm-hmm.
So then moving on to actually the bedtime routine and making sure that you're signaling that sleep is approaching. Mm-hmm. So making sure that you do the same thing every time before they go to sleep, when they're obviously in their room. You're not going to, well, you do still do a small version of this if you're out and about, but you know, making sure that you're calmly taking them into their room before they're ready to be settled to sleep, or before going to sleep, that you're calmly changing their diaper, maybe singing a song or doing whatever, and turning on your white noise shutting shutting the curtains and signaling now it's dark and now it's time for sleep.
And that is actually the first step. That's always kind of the first step in a sleep training method anyway, is setting up that pre-sleep routine, because often we then incorporate a sleepy phrase or a cue phrase into that sleep routine, which is something that you say every single time you're putting your little one down to sleep. Do you know, it's actually weirdly, I was thinking about this the other day in regards to my puppy. I was taking her outside and I said outside, and she understands what outside means and she knows she goes outside, and I say, we get out to the grass and I say, go toilet. And she knows what that means, obviously, now. And so she squats down and she goes to the toilet. And this is exactly the same. You're saying a sentence or a cue to your little one, and what follows that cue is sleep. And so quite quickly they start to learn that when they hear that sleep phrase, that means that sleep is coming and they're expected to sleep next. So it could be something like, it's sleep time now, or go to sleep, darling, or something like that, signaling them they're about to go to sleep. And that is the very first step in any sleep training method, is to implement something like that.
Yeah,
for sure. Puppies and babies
alike. There's actually quite a lot of crossover there.
Oh, but, so many crossovers.
I know. And I think that's something that you still do even without realizing it with our older children.
Oh, I still say that to my kids.
Yeah, it's just that they start doing the brushing their teeth and doing all of those other things first, and then you still say the same thing.
With my seven-year-old, she still likes to have the exact same song, and it's the same song. It's not even like a selection of songs. It's the same lullaby that I still sing her every night, the nights that I put her to bed, every single time. Like, she's like, can I have my song? She still wants the song. I'm pretty sure I generally also then say the same thing afterwards, like, good night, darling. Like, I think I say the exact same words still. It's just, I think it's...
Unless I'm yelling at them, but...
Yeah, that's right. I'm like, I'm asleep. No, you cannot have another drink of water. it's pretty powerful. Right. Like, these little routines and cues are super powerful tools.
Should we move on to, do you want to talk about our gentle sleep training methods?
Yes. So if we are talking about sleep training without crying, then, you know, we're looking at the most gentle methods possible. So these are methods that you can use with your little one from the age of around 4 months old, assuming, like Amanda said, that all of those other steps are in place. You've got the sleep environment set up, the awake times, all the nap stuff is perfect. If you've got a good little bedtime routine, we would always
If you need help with any of those sleep times, awake times, anything like that, please download our app. We have that down to the absolute, like,
minute
perfect amount. The minute. Right through from 2 weeks old right through to your toddler. So making sure though that is the first place that you start. And
that's right,
we have that all in detail on our app, and they're available on the app stores.
yeah So first of all, we would always recommend to start looking at any kind of sleep training at the start of naps and at bedtime. So you're not just suddenly going to go, oh, I'm going to sleep train my little one all through the night on day one.
Nope.
So the first place you'll... No. Why? It's so much easier at the start of everything, at the start of the naps and at the start of bedtime, because there's no stress there. You know, your little one should have quite high sleep pressure if they're very perfectly ready for sleep. So they're wanting to go to sleep. So they're going to be more receptive to any of your approaches, sleep training approaches anyway. And actually, depending on the age and the temperament of the baby, quite often we find that once they are able to self-settle at the start of their naps and at bedtime, they automatically start doing it during the nap and through the night, because they've got the skill, they really understand, oh yeah, this is just me putting myself back to sleep. Older babies and toddlers, it's a bit different, but
with everything, especially for you as the adult, it is easier to deal with a disrupted day than a disrupted night.
That's right.
And it will be disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
It will be disrupted for a couple of days. Hopefully you've started sleep training earlier than later if you do need to sleep train. If you're sleep training under 9 months old, it should only take 2-3 days.
Yeah,
at the very most.
So what you, the gist of it is that you need to work with your little one's current sleep association. And by that I mean if they're used to being fed to sleep, that you still continue to feed them. If they're used to being rocked to sleep, you will still rock them. Or if they're used to co-sleeping, you will still lie down with them. But the difference is you're only going to do that thing to soothe them if they happen to be upset, but not to completely put them to sleep. The general idea is that you do what you're doing, you just do it less and less. So we would usually recommend, certainly at the very start, that you just pop your baby in their bed when they're ready for sleep and see what happens. Close your eyes and pray. You know, that if it's a younger baby, they might surprise you. They might actually just go to sleep. And then
because you might have just not had those sleep sleep times actually right.
Spot so on, that's right. So that might have made honestly, all the difference.
What
we would suggest then, if every family is going to be different and your preferences and tolerance is going to be different to somebody else's. So then you just really need to work with what you're comfortable with. If you're all right with a little bit of grizzling and you pop your baby in their bed and you see what happens and they're grizzling for a bit and you're right there, I mean, maybe leave them and see what happens. You know they're safe. You know that they're fed and they're clean and they're warm and they're dry and they're just protesting this bit of change. They're like, well, hang on a minute, this isn't what I'm used to. And we'll talk more about crying in the next segment, but you know, see what happens. If it reaches a point where you're uncomfortable, you would pick your baby up and you would do the thing to soothe them again. So that might be you feed them or you rock them, which is what they're used to, that's what they're waiting for. You do that to soothe them, but not quite to sleep. Yeah. So then when they're calm and they're sleepy, you pop them back in their bed and you try again.
But you do have to give them the chance to learn the skill and to do it themselves. You cannot jump in here and just take over and be like, ah, you know, you have to give them the chance. We have to do this with our children at all ages. We actually have to allow them the time and space to learn the skill.
Yeah.
And you're not going to do that if you jump in the second that they're not going to sleep.
Yeah.
And start.
They might surprise you.
Doing whatever.
Yeah. I mean, so the goal really is if they're getting upset, if they start crying, if you're uncomfortable at any point, you know, do the thing, soothe them with it. And then try again. The goal is that you're able to slowly over the space of a few days reduce your input, because they're starting to learn that you're still here, you're supporting them, you're comforting them when they're upset, but that they have the space and the opportunity to fall asleep on their own. Alternatively, you could then also implement a different settling technique. So, for instance, if you normally feed your baby to sleep in your arms, you know, you could try feeding them until they're calm, popping them in their bed and patting them with them in their bed to actually settle them to sleep to start with. So you've moved from them being settled to sleep on you to them being settled to sleep in their bed. And that works especially well with younger babies, and because they're quite easy to settle no matter what you do. And so immediately that's a win, because now your little one is starting to get used to going to sleep in their bed. And then you just slowly remove your active settling in their bed. And so they're still learning to associate their bed with the place they fall asleep rather than on you. And that's a massive step in the right direction. For a toddler, we do have to have a little disclaimer. It is going to be hard. Toddlers are difficult. They've had a long time of very ingrained sleep habits. And to be honest, there kind of is no way to sleep train a toddler without some crying or shouting, probably from both of you.
Unless, especially if you have fed them to sleep. So yeah. I would suggest that if you have a toddler, you're feeding them to sleep and you're working away from that, and you are not going to want any sort of crying, I would suggest replacing the feeding to sleep with a dummy or a pacifier.
Yeah.
Because that is literally the only thing that is going to plug their mouth and not allow them to cry.
Yeah.
It's like, so I think that, that feeding to sleep or sucking to sleep is one of the strongest, well, it is the strongest sleep association that there is. So replace it with a pacifier, and then teaching them to put the pacifier in themselves. You're swapping one sleep association for another.
Yeah, and in the same breath, you can then continue to maybe sit with your toddler or next to your toddler or hold their hand or something like that while they're in their crib or their bed. And then you're slowly going to remove yourself from that situation. So you're going to, you know, some move to you're just comforting them with your voice rather than holding their hand. And then you're going to move sort of further and further out of the room every time. And it's just baby steps with babies, right? So, you know, they're going to learn really quickly. That's the beauty of it. If we give them the chance, they're going to learn this skill. And what it will look like is your little one is perfectly ready for sleep. You pop them in their bed. You say your sleep phrase. You walk out of the room and they go to sleep. And that's what will happen. That's, you know, perfect. And then they're going to start napping better and they're going to sleep all night through the night, as long as they're capable of sleeping through the night. But it has to start here. So I think it's important, Amanda, that we now do talk about crying, because these are the methods that we would use. We've talked about them. And as we've said, Amanda said before, if you want help with this, I know this is like a real rush through because we're trying to get it all in one episode and it's a big topic. If you want help with this, with these methods, they're broken down for you step by step inside our app. Like literally every single method, there's multiple methods to choose from, is broken down. And of course, our app, you've got our sleep consultant support as well. So you can ask a human or the other parents something if you're unsure of what to do next. So then let's start talking about crying, because we are trying in this podcast episode to talk about how you would teach sleep training without crying.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to do it. It's potentially going to be impossible to do it without any sort of crying, and remembering that crying is the only way that your baby can actually communicate with
you. That's right.
They can't talk. They cry. So a bit of crying in a supportive, loving environment is perfectly okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that bit of crying, I guess, is just dependent on you and how much you're able to
tolerate.
Deal with.
Yeah.
And tolerate.
Because not all crying means that something is, like, horrifically wrong. Like babies, especially younger babies, they cry all day long. Not consistently, but throughout the day for dozens and dozens of reasons.
Yeah, they don't like their diaper being changed, or they don't want to go in to have a bath. They don't like holding their head up and doing tummy time.
Oh, my son hated tummy time. Like you put him on his tummy and start crying straight away. And, you know, everyone tells you that tummy time is so important for their development. So you do it even though they're crying. How is this any different? Sleep is so important. You know, you're not going to not change your little one's diaper just because they cry while you do it. And this is no different. So, but your little one has to learn this skill of falling asleep. Like they will not sleep well if they don't learn it. So,
and they're protesting because you're doing something different and you're trying to teach them something different. So they are telling you about it. They just want to go to sleep. But unfortunately, they're going to cry. So an overtired baby, of course, is also going to cry a lot more. And also an undertired baby will cry a lot more because they don't want to go to sleep.
And if you don't sleep train, so if your little one cannot self-settle and they are having very short naps and they are having very fractured night sleep, they're going to be overtired almost all of the time. So they're going to cry a lot more during the day anyway when any little things happen. These are the babies who are very fractious babies, so they get a little bit of a fright and they cry. These are the ones who are going to cry when you change their diaper or there's a loud sound or they have to go in the bath and it's a bit colder than they expected. You know, that their tolerance level is really low because they're so overtired all the time. So actually, if this is your baby, they're crying a lot more during the day anyway than they ever would in any small period of sleep training. So you actually have to choose the lesser of two evils in a way.
Yeah, for sure. And another example and how we know that, you know, babies, it is okay if they cry a little bit is, and it happens to us all if we have more than one child.
Yes. Because,
well, first of all, the toddler is generally crying all day long for that you've given them the wrong coloured spoon or their peas are touching their potato.
Yes.
You know, so things like that. If you've got a toddler or other children or twins or multiple children, the baby is just going to have to be left in their safe space to go to sleep sometimes while you're dealing with a toddler who stapled their finger or something like that, you know?
So that's right. Your baby is just going to have to cry because you have to deal with your other children.
But to reduce the crying, the one thing I would certainly do, especially with sleep training, is I would have a very loud shh track playing as white noise, because that will reduce crying. That is the number one thing that will, because if you think about it, you would be there comforting them. If you can be there comforting them, then fantastic. You probably will automatically just start saying shh, shh, it's okay, you know, shh. But you can have that on white noise if you like, doing it for you, and that will reduce the crying. But I think it is, like, if we go back to what you're comfortable with, what we recommend in our programs is no more, especially for starting off sleep training, set a timer for 6 minutes. It's 6 minutes at the max. If you're only comfortable with 2 minutes, that's fine. If you're only comfortable with one minute, that's fine. Bearing in mind, you do have to allow them the chance to go to sleep. But 6 minutes is not like you're abandoning your child for hours on end. It's 6 minutes.
Yeah.
You could barely go to the toilet and wash your hands in 6 minutes if you actually think about it. So this is where we would recommend 6 minutes, set a timer at the most, never any more than this to start off with. But as I said, you can set a timer for 2 minutes or 1 minute if you like, and allow your child the chance to actually go to sleep. But this is where we should talk about the types of cries, because
not all crying is created equal.
No, we want to make sure that if you do have one of these types of cries, that you know what to do. So there are different types. So we've got our winding down cry. These cries are ones that are getting spaced further apart.
Yeah.
They're getting quieter.
This is what I would sort of call a tired cry. Like, it's just like that. Like, there's not, they're not upset. This is not an upset cry.
This is just, I just want to go to sleep.
I'm over it. Like, yeah. You probably cry. You probably do this exact cry yourself the second your kids are in bed. I do. What?
Yeah. So these cries, if your baby is winding down and these cries are getting further apart and quieter, then it's totally okay to leave them.
Yeah.
And totally okay to allow them the chance to go to sleep. Don't step in here because they are so close to going to sleep by themselves.
So close. So. And you're going to ramp them up again.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Another one, I mean, everyone knows about this one, grizzling. This is just the like, that kind of like, I'm over it. I want something and it's not fair kind of cry. Even my 12-year-old still cries. He's like this when she doesn't get her own way. That cry is like a holding you hostage cry. That's like, do something for me, Mom, or I won't like you anymore, kind of cry.
Yeah.
Again, you're probably okay to leave a grizzling cry because very quickly it'll turn into a winding down cry.
Very quickly.
Grizzling is just overtiredness and they're just wanting something that you're not giving them. So they're just having a grizzle about it.
Then we might talk about protest crying next. That one is, protest crying is literally, as it says on the tin, they're protesting you. They are protesting that you are doing something different to what they want.
This one is like you're shouting.
Yep, shouting because their dummy is not, or their pacifier is not in their mouth. Or you are not feeding them to sleep, or you are not rocking them to sleep anymore. They are protesting that particular thing is not there anymore. This one, you want to give them a little bit of a chance, but you want to make sure that it's not changing into crying up, which we'll get onto next.
Yeah, protest crying is the loud, insistent, like, wah, wah, wah. It's that, it is like they're, like you get the sense that they're shouting at you. They're just throwing a tantrum. It's like tantrum crying in a way. You know, they're literally spat the dummy. So then crying up is the bad guy. That's the one you do want to pay attention to. That's the really heartbreaking, emotional, genuine tears will come out their eyes. Real, true crying. That's the something is wrong crying. That's the kind of crying that your baby does when it gets, like, its vaccination or, you know, something that is sore, when something hurts them or when they get a genuine fright. It's that cry that something is really wrong here. That's that cry. And that you must always respond to that cry. So you'll hear that one. It's the really emotional one.
When sleep training, you'll get the protest crying.
Yes, you will.
Which will turn into the winding down, which will turn into the grizzling and going to sleep.
Yeah.
You won't get the crying up.
Not usually,
Well, not usually. You might at some point if you're 45 minutes. Yeah, in an older baby. Or if you've got a really young baby that is just genuinely so overtired that it's like 45 minutes past their nap on the first day. Mm-hmm. But this would only generally happen on the first day.
Yeah.
Because after that, they've learnt what's meant to be happening and they're just practicing it.
Yeah.
So the crying up generally won't be happening in sleep training though.
No. So then if we summarize sort of this almighty episode, I mean, the key from our perspective for anybody that we would be giving this advice to would be to set up for the sleep success first, very first thing. Don't even think about sleep training until you've done that. No. So check the awake times, check the nap lengths during the day, and the times of those naps are quite important too. Make sure that is all really age appropriate.
We all get stuck into a routine that we don't realize our babies have gotten older. You know, like that still happens now with our older children. or any children, you know. So
so set making up sure that they're first.
Age appropriate.
Yeah, and the sleep environment. Like, don't try and sleep train your baby in a bright room because it's not fair on them. It's not helping them to sleep. So then you're going to choose a method or an approach that works with your little one's current sleep association. So it's not too different for them. And you're going to pick a day and you're going to start with the start of naps and at bedtime and go from there.
Yeah, and remembering, though, you've got to be patient. Mm-hmm. You're teaching your baby or toddler a new skill. You've also got to give them the chance. You have to be consistent. You're teaching them something new. And you need to be consistent throughout the entire sleep training process. Yes. Now, as I said, babies under 9 months old, it should be a couple of days max. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we would also recommend here, if you are sleep training, that you spend those 3 days at home.
Yeah.
Just doing all naps in bed, in their bed, or wherever they're sleeping, so they get to know the skill and quicker than mm-hmm. what it would be if you were out and about. And so remembering, though, you are teaching them something new. This is parenting. You're teaching them something new. It's not going to happen overnight.
No.
And it might take a little while. And they will protest you at some point. But we have to give them the chance to actually learn that skill.
And they will learn it if you're taking these steps and being proactive. And you obviously really care about your little one getting the sleep that they need, which is why you're listening to this episode. And thank you for listening to us harp on all about no-cry sleep training, if such a thing truly exists. Don't forget to check out our other podcasts for so, so much more sleep advice, and visit our website if you haven't already, littleones.co, if you're in need of more help with your baby's sleep training, their naps, their night sleep, their settling, toilet training, you name it. It's all crammed in there.
So we will talk to you on the next episode. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening. Bye. Little Ones, the Sleep Manual Podcast.